Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Please join us for the Max and Yeti Mandur Aleihem HaShalom Alit Virtual Summer Beit Midrash program for 2 weeks of in-depth learning starting July 29th with stellar educators and courses. Register at ouwomen.org/Alit, A-L-I-T, 2024. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu, Perek 32. In the last perek, Yeshayahu told the people not to go to Mitzrayim for horses, and that Hashem would protect Yerushalayim and defend it from Ashur. Ashur will end up defeated in a great miracle. This perek continues from that salvation. The perek talks about the person who is responsible for this miracle. As we've seen before, there are commentators who interpret this parak as taking place in the distant future, in the time of the Mashiach, and those who interpret it as happening in the immediate future, during the times of Chizkiyahu. As we have also said before, Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach. Every parak that could be talking about Mashiach could be referring to him and vice versa. We will be learning the parak according to the Radak and Rashi, who explained it as talking about Chizkiyahu. We have previously mentioned how Chizkiyahu managed his kingdom differently than all the other kings that preceded him and followed. He listened to the Navi and knew that the only solution to his military and political issues was Torah and Tefillah. He compelled all men, women, and children under his rule to be proficient in Torah law. He destroyed the idols as well as the bamos throughout the land. And when he had problems, he sought advice from the Navi and asked him to daven for them. Most importantly, he ruled his kingdom according to the values that Hashem defined as important for a Jewish king, justice and righteousness. As a result of the way he ruled, Hashem brought a salvation to his nation. The Chida points out that the juxtaposition of this parak focusing on justice with the previous parak, which focused on war, teaches us what is reality and what is illusion. It would seem that the primary role of a king is to act as a political and military leader and strategist. We have learned from the last few prakim that this is false. The northern kingdom was far stronger militarily, yet they lost. Sancheirv was stronger and used creative political strategies, and he lost. Chizkiyahu, in contrast, believed in Hashem and was saved. Only a king's fear of heaven and his commitment to justice and righteousness influences Hashem to have a positive outcome. Pasuk 1. Hein letzedek yimlach melech. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness. Chizkiyahu led with righteousness and also impacted those around him so that ulisarim limishpat yasoru. The officers also rule in justice. Those who are subordinate to him follow his example. This king, Chizkiyahu, who acted with justice, saves, protects, and renews his people. Yeshayahu compares this king to a shelter from wind, rain, flood, and the sun for his people. He both saves the people from danger and provides them relief as they recover from that danger. Under his influence, the culture will shift. The nobles will act differently, and the people will as well. Whereas before, the people acted as if they were deaf and blind to the Navi's message, now Pasuk 3, V'lo tishena eine ro'im, and their eyes of those at sea will not be closed. V'azne shom'im tikshavna, and the ears of those that hear will listen. Before, they acted as if the Navi's message was in a foreign language and impossible to understand. Now the people will understand the Navi's messages clearly, and they will appreciate those messages. Another shift in the culture will be who people hold up as role models and who they value. Before, they honored those with charisma and power and would label them as righteous. Now they will honor people based on their behavior. Unfortunately, the Radak tells us that this honest assessment of people will only last during the time of Chizkiyahu. In Pasuk 5, Yeshayahu will first define the two extremes of behavior and how they should not be confused. Pasuk 5, Lo yikre od l'naval nadiv, the corrupt person will no longer be called generous, ulechilai lo ye amar shoah, and the miserly person will no longer be called benevolent. In Psukim 6 through 8, Yeshayahu defines what makes a good and bad person by explaining exactly why a naval is corrupt and what makes a nadiv generous. The Maharal summarizes these basic differences between the two groups. as that the generous people want to give. They do not think whether they will benefit, while the amoral and vile people want to take, and they make sure no one else gets, as that is a danger to their taking. Their end motivation and their means for getting to the same place are completely different. Yeshayahu describes the categories of people at length, as it is important to be clear about what makes a good person so that we can identify what we want to accept in society and who we choose to serve as role models. Rav Schwab points out that even in the ideal society, in the times of Chizkiyahu, there were unsavory personalities. Bad people will always be there. The difference between then and now is that then people called a spade a spade and knew who to avoid. Now we obscure the difference between good and evil. The psukim go into detail how a navel and a nadiv are opposite from each other. A navel speaks coarsely, is dishonest, and plans how to exploit others with no thought to morality or Hashem. He uses his charisma to lessen people's faith in inherent goodness. The chelai is bad, just not as bad as a navel. His name, according to the Mishpesot Sahav, stands for Ki Li, Hakol Li. Everything should be for me. He is a miser who hates to help others and will cheat others for his own gain. He will give poor advice to benefit himself. In contrast, the Nadiv, the generous person, which according to Rashi includes the category of the people from the last pasuk called a Shoah, will advise others based on what is good for the recipient. This generous person wants others to be successful, and he promotes good causes to encourage others to support them as well. Pasuk 9 begins an entirely new section of Nevuah. We are now again shifting to a description of destruction. The Radak says this Nevuah could be talking about the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, or the second Beis HaMikdash, or the exile of the 10 tribes, or the destruction of the city of Yehuda by Ashur, or even it could be talking about the times immediately preceding Mashiach. The descriptions of Chorban could unfortunately refer to so many times in our history. The first pasuk in the section refers to women and daughters. While some mafarshim explained pasukim to mean that Yeshayahu is actually addressing the women as he did in Perek Gimel, many mafarshim say that the women and daughters are a metaphor for the cities and villages around Yerushalayim. Yeshayahu says, pasuk 9, Nashim sha'ananos, komna shimana koli. Complacent women, meaning the cities, who don't anticipate being attacked, listen to my voice. Banos botchos, hazena imrasi, trusting daughters, cities who believe that they are all secure, listen to what I am saying. Yeshayahu first describes the troubles that are to come. Pasuk 10, Yamim al shana tirgazna botchos. Year after year, you confident ones will have waves of trouble. Yeshayahu describes how they may have planted their fields, but they will never have a chance to gather them before their destruction and exile. Yeshayahu warns the complacent ones to be scared about the troubles that are coming when they go into Galus. One of the harsh decrees will be that the women will be unclothed as they are led to Galus with only a minimal covering. As they are led to Galus, they will contrast what they had with what they had now. In the place of bountiful fields, they won't have any food to the point that the mothers cannot produce milk for nursing babies. Their beautiful land will be, Pasuk 13, Kots Shamir Ta'aleh, thorns and thistles coming up. They will remember with sadness as they look at their destroyed homes that were Kol Bate Masos Kirya Aliza, all these houses of joy and the joyous city where their families lived and celebrated. Pasuk 14, Ki Armon Nutash Hamon Ir Uzav. The palace has been forsaken. The city's multitude is gone. Both the king and the nobles and the people will be exiled. In their place, wild animals will wander amongst the ruins, ad olam, forever, or, as Rav Schwab explains it, it will seem like forever, as it is such a long time that they will be in exile. The palace, according to many mefarshim, is the Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed in its place, and it became a Mesos Piraim Mir'ei Adarim, a joy for wild donkeys and a pasture for flocks. Rashi says that these animals are alluding to two nations. Yishmael is called in the Torah Para Adam, a wild man. The site of the Beis HaMikdash will be his place of joy. And Adarim, the flocks, continues Rashi, refers to Edom, who also gather in Yerushalayim. Yishmael points out the Mishpesot Sahav does not destroy the Beis HaMikdash or Israel, but they live there with confidence. This will continue ad olam for what will seem like forever. Just as this pasuk is happening before our eyes, we can take comfort in the wonderful change that Yeshayahu promises beginning on pasuk 15. Things in Galus will stay status quo, pasuk 15, Ad Yeharveh Aleinu Ruach Mimarom, until there is poured out upon us a spirit from on high. When Hashem decides things will change, they will change. Now we live in a time with no nevuah. The Shechina is hidden and there is no Ruach HaKodesh. In the times of Mashiach, Hashem will pour spirituality, ruchnias, on us. Life will change. What was a midbar, a wasteland, will become a Carmel, garden land, and what was gardens will be now thought of as forest. This means, says the Radak, that Klal Yisrael will rise from one spiritual level to the next higher level with the help of Hashem. The land was desolate. At this time, the times of Mashiach, Pasuk 16, Vishachan Bamidbar Mishpat. Then justice shall dwell in the wilderness. The Metzudas David explains that Yerushalayim that was a wilderness will be full of justice, transforming it into an entirely new place. Utstaka b'Karmel teshev, and the righteous shall live in the fruitful field. The rest of Eretz Yisrael, which was not as desolate as Yerushalayim, will have tztaka. People will focus on doing tztaka, righteous and charitable acts for each other, which will allow the land to be revitalized. This tztaka will play a key role in the Geula process. Pasuk 17, V'haya ma'asei hatztaka shalom. Where there will be acts of tztaka, there will be peace. V'avodas hatztaka, and when there is work that is done to have tztaka, hashket v'avetach ad olam. There will be quiet and security forever. The Me'am Loes highlights the difference between an act of tztaka and a work of tztaka. There are people for whom acts of tztaka are easy. They have a personality where they like to host. They might be able to swipe a credit card for a campaign and it doesn't pinch their wallet. I can put a few coins in the pushka and I don't feel it. Giving tztaka, even if because it's natural for my personality or because a person is well-to-do and comfortable, it still heralds shalom, peace for the time being. Then there are people who are naturally frugal, who are saving for something personal. For them, tztaka is avodas tztaka, work, as they need to sacrifice and work against their personality to give. The avodas tztaka brings a quantitatively bigger reward of security and quiet forever. Yeshayahu continues to describe how beautiful life will be, pasuk 18. V'yashav ami b'nevei shalom, and my people shall dwell in residences of peace. Where we live will be secure, quiet, and restful. The pasuk describes the cities will be shananos, carefree. Earlier in the parak, the connotation was negative, as these cities were blindsided by their suffering, as they did not listen to their Nevi'im. In the times of Mashiach, we have the ideal kind of rest, where we can be carefree, as there will be no more pain. In addition to peace from the enemies, nature will support us. Instead of hail falling on the crops, pasuk 19, Uvarad beredes yihayar. Hail will only fall in forest, where there are no people or crops. People will also be able to build their homes in the shvelah in the valley, as they will not need the protection of the hills and the mountains from their enemies. The parak ends by praising those who will live at that time, pasuk 20. Yeshayahu says, Ashrechem zor'ei al kol mayim. Fortunate are you who sow their seeds in all the water. Wherever they plant, it's going to grow because they will find water there. Mishalchei regel hashor v'hachamor, who sends forth the foot of the ox and the donkey. They will have so much produce that they can send out their beasts of burden to eat in the fields, which are generally reserved for the crops. While it sounds beautiful that we'll have beautiful land and our animals will be healthy, there's a deeper message contained in these very mundane words. According to the Gemara in Bava Kamma, sowing seeds represents the mitzvah of tzedakah and fixing one's midos personality. This work precedes learning Torah, which is represented by water. Yeshayahu is saying that those who help others and learn Torah are blessed because they will get the portion of the ox and the donkey. In the bracha of Yaakov to his son Yosef, Yosef is described as a shor, the ox. He supported his family and the country of Egypt in a time of famine. His portion is the portion of wealth. Those who work on their personality and who give tzedaka will merit having this portion of wealth as a reward. Yaakov compares Yisachar to a donkey. because he learns Torah. Those who work on themselves to learn Torah, who put in the effort, as did Yisachar, who's compared to a donkey, will merit also understanding the Torah as Yisachar did. In the times of Mashiach, we will have material abundance, as represented by Yosef, the shore, and spiritual abundance Torah learning, as represented by the chamor, who's the symbol of Yisachar. This parak had a few sections. The first part of parak discussed how life will be under Chizkiyahu and that people will accurately choose role models based on their behavior, not based on ego-driven agendas. The parak then changes topics to destruction and exile of the land of Yehuda. The parak concludes with a beautiful vision of life in the time of Mashiach with a focus on the reward for tzedakah. There is a beautiful lesson found in the Midrash Tanaim in Sefer Dvarim connected to our parak. In Parshas Re'eh, parak 15, pasuk 8, the Torah commands people to help out the poor with tzedakah. People may be scared to practice tzedakah as they want to ensure that they have what they need. Maybe they'll need more tomorrow and so they should keep more in savings. They may be fine today, but who knows what tomorrow will bring. Our parak is the guarantee that a person will not become poor or lose his money because he gave tzedakah. This is a promise according to the Rambam and the Mishneh Torah. Tzedakah, as mentioned in our parak, can only lead to shalom, peace, quiet, and security. Rav Schwab says that if tzedakah ever leads to machlokes, to infighting, to arguments, then there may be a problem with the money or how the money was given. There is a principle recorded in Pirkei Avos, mar b'tzedakah, mar b'shalom. The more tzedakah that is given, the more peace there is in this world. Tzedakah must always lead to peace and can never lead to fighting. We saw in this parak how the generous, the nadiv, were contrasted with the naval, the vile person. The Mishpat Zohar says that the root cause of the naval's behavior is that he is entirely narcissistic and self-absorbed. He cannot tolerate that anyone outside of himself is successful. His opposite is the generous person, who wants to help others because he does not focus on himself. As we see from the reward to those who give tzedakah, our goal must be to minimize the focus on ourselves so that we can give wholeheartedly to others. In this merit, we'll bring peace, quiet, security to our borders, wealth, and spiritual abundance. It's well worth the sacrifice. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilei Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Abraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.